Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Connections Radio, and just another beautiful night. We've had some beautiful full moons lately, and the weather's been pretty incredible out there, depending on where you are in the country or around the world. I want to say thank you for all the different people from the audience who've been phoning in, sending in their questions and answers, and you know, just giving us a lot of positive feedback about the radio show. If you want to find out more about our radio show, as far as what radio shows are coming up and what our schedule looks like, you can actually find out more information at our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. That's www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And we have also some exciting news for all our listeners out there. Normally, as you know, we do our normal radio show with our guests that come on every week, and we do that every Thursday. And, you know, this is one of those shows you're listening to now. But we actually have some new people coming on that are going to be hosting some very specific radio shows on a weekly basis on Spiritual Connections Radio. One is my friend Pamela, which you guys know is my co-host, and she's going to be launching her show in February. And my friend Brigida and Mike, as you've had heard, both of them were on our radio shows earlier this year. They're actually going to launch a Ascended Master radio show that's going to start up in February also. So if you go to our website, you'll actually see more information on exactly when those shows are going to air. They will be on alternate nights. They'll be probably on a Monday and Wednesday night at different times. So make sure to go to our website to find out the most up-to-date as far as what additional radio personalities and shows we're bringing to you. As always, we love your feedback and comments, so feel free to go to our website and send us an email using the email link that's there for any type of feedback about the show. With that said, I would like to introduce my co-host, Pamela. Pamela, are you there?
I'm there. Thanks for that lovely introduction. Also, for the remark about the new show coming up on Monday night. I appreciate that. How are you tonight, Mark?
I'm doing good. You know, it's been very interesting. As everybody knows, I'm out in L.A. now. And I use that term very lightly because I'm actually up in the mountains, so I'm nowhere near the city, so it doesn't feel like L.A. to me. Not that there's anything wrong with downtown L.A., but I do enjoy being up in the mountains. And it's funny because the whole time I've been here, it hasn't really rained. And for the last couple of days, it's been raining, and today we actually had some sun, so I was really happy about that. How does it feel down in Florida?
It's good. It's been hot. We're supposed to have another cold front coming in tonight, but the cold fronts in Florida hit 65, 68, so it's actually wonderful. The sun shines every day, and I live on a lake, which is absolutely amazing. So I've been enjoying the weather tremendously. But let's, enough of the chit-chat, let's get to our guest tonight, because I'm really anxious to introduce her and to find out a little more about her. We have a very special treat for you tonight. A woman who is, she makes jewelry, and she's more than just a jewelry maker. She's an alchemist jewelry maker. She works with stones, but not just making stones. I'll let her tell you the story. It has a lot to do with vibration and spirituality. So let's give a warm round of applause there in your house for Miss Randy Rahm. Randy, you want to say hi?
Hey, Pam. Hey, Mark. Wow, what awesomeness. Thank you very much, both of you. Thank you, Pam, for a warm introduction, and Mark for making all this happen. So, hi, everybody.
Hi.
And by the way, here it's raining and 50 degrees in sunny Asheville, beautiful Asheville, North Carolina, and we're supposed to have a cold front, which means we'll get a whole lot lower than you will tomorrow, Pam.
Well, Asheville, is, you know, it's such a beautiful place in the mountains. You're in the mountains as well, aren't you?
I am. I'm inside of downtown Asheville in a little artisan community in the top of an older home, and I look out into the trees. I'm like living in an adult treehouse that's all sided, and, you know, I got a roof over my head and heat and all that stuff, and it's just way cool. It's so awesome in the morning and in the afternoon, and it's pretty beautiful, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, well, let's find out a little more about you. What exactly do you do, and what's the story behind it? How did you get started?
Well, I was married, as some of us are sometimes, and things weren't going really well, and my career in the wine business was skyrocketing, but I needed something to appease the creative side of me and work through whatever was going on in my relationship, and I started, it was funny, all of my friends were making jewelry, and I thought, okay, well, I'll join in, and they took me to a bead store, and I was like, okay, and one day I went to a gem show, and a friend of mine was with me, and if she's listening to this, she'll remember it, and we walked in the door, and it was like somebody took a magical, like, big hook, like you would have seen people in the old comedy days being pulled, you know, off the stage because their act was so horrible. Well, it was like this big imaginary hook pulled me all the way across the room to this table of amethyst. It was like I didn't even know what was happening. And I got there and I picked up strands of amethyst and said, these are mine. And she started laughing at me going, really? And I was like, apparently so. And from that moment on, she's watching me. We're walking through this gym show, and she's watching everything that I'm looking at. And she had tons of experience in rocks and stones, tons and tons and tons of experience in rocks and stones. And she just laughed the whole time as I was being drawn, literally drawn from one particular type of stone to the next. And it was like I'd start putting my hands over stones, and I'd start feeling things. Or it was like I'd turn around, and something would – I'd be standing in the middle of the room, and I'd turn around – and something would call to me, and it was like I was a puppet standing in this room of rocks and stones and being pulled in so many different directions. I had absolutely no control over what was happening that day. Okay. And I went home, and it was humorous. And so I go home with my bags of rocks and stones, and my husband at the time's looking at me going, "What'd you do?" And I was like, "Well, it was working." He goes, "Really?" And we were supposed to be selling wine at a home show, and that night a bunch of us were sitting around waiting for customers to come up, and all the girls start talking, and they're like, "What are you going to name your jewelry?" And I said, "I don't know." So we sat around, and we brainstormed, and all of us who were working in the wine company just battled out names, and all of a sudden Randy Bling came up by one of my dear friends, and she said, "I know it's a little passe, but it really zings." And funny, later on, my good friend David Culp, and I believe you guys both know him, said, "Bling means to feel good, to get blinged out." He said, "And that's what you do." And so, but that conversation with David was years later. So anyway, the name Randy Bling stuck, and after a couple of years in the wine business, I just couldn't do it anymore, and my heart was calling for me to make jewelry. And the more I created, the more interesting the combinations became, and the more people saw the work. It was like putting a happy button on people when they put my jewelry on. It's really an interesting thing to watch and see. So that's kind of how it got started. And since then, it's evolved into this very interesting growth of creating with different types of rocks and stones. And I'm very fortunate that they literally kind of talk to me or go, hey, are you ready to work with me now? Or somebody's going to need this piece and you need to fix it or you need to create it. And so that's kind of what's been going on for the last couple of years. And it's been a pretty cool experience so far. And I'm really enjoying the journey of conversating with the rocks and stones and putting different things together and realizing what they can do for different people when those people get a hold of the work that I do.
Lovely. So just for our audience that doesn't have exactly the same reality, I want to talk for a minute about consciousness and inanimate objects, things like stones. Can you explain to us, if you know how vibration works when it comes to inanimate objects like stones?
I can give you what I understand about it. Because my gift didn't come with scientific knowledge. I can't tell you the hardness. I can if I look it up. I can't tell you the hardness of stones. I can't tell you that this is and that is. But what I can tell you is that all stones have a unique and subtle energy. And this comes from the internal crystal structure. Most stones vibrate in their own way, and what happens is the inside of humans will resonate with some part of a stone. It's like our inner self energies, and our inner self energies will call to a particular stone because it's going to help us whether we realize it or not. And those inner energies could be things like the attributes, the qualities, the natures of a particular person, and either they're trying to work through something or they're trying to work around something or they want more of something, and it's their inner self going, I know that the vibration of this stone or crystal is going to help. Now, when you talk about them, stones vibrate at a lower frequency than, say, crystals do. And it's because stones usually work on one specific area. And most stones are associated with chakras. Stones have been used in Ayurvedic work, in chakra work. My gosh, there's so many different things that are done with stones. It's just amazing. And when you get into crystals, they vibrate higher. And it's because they work all of the different energies in a person's body. And that being said, it's more of an all-over, so the energy stays constant while it's raising, but it's a broader spectrum, whereas a stone as opposed to a crystal will probably go in and work on making a weaker area stronger. So that's how it, and everything is done on vibration. Everything is done on energies, whether we're talking about electricities or waters or the earth has their own vibrations. Well, the stones have their own vibrations. And that's pretty much, I'll tell you a funny story. I was meditating with a meridian crystal. And I meditate once or twice a day, and this was a morning meditation. And then I was journaling, and I had not removed the meridian crystal. Now, meridian crystals are crystals that will just quickly pop open all your meridians, and I'd done a few prayers and this, that, and the other. Well, I got through with my meditation and my journaling, and it was like my body went, we're going for a walk. We're going for a walk right now. right now. Did you hear me? We're going for a walk, and I was laughing, going, what in the world? And I went, oh, yeah, I didn't remove the meridian crystal fast enough. And because I'm sensitive enough to things like that, it was like, well, I guess I'm going for a walk, because if I hadn't, I wasn't going to be able to do anything with all of this energy that was just flowing through my body. But it was a great reason for me to get out and go walk, so it was pretty awesome. But that's what crystals can do for us when we start getting attuned to their energies. And there are crystals that will take us into the angelic realm. There are crystals that work with the etheric realm. You know, they work with the eighth chakra and above, or they're working with your base chakra. It just really depends. And they are, a lot of them, in color correlation, just like our chakra system is.
Fascinating. Yeah. Now, you've mentioned the angelic realm and the etheric realm. And what was the third one?
Our basic physical. Our basic physical realm, you know, our one through seven that we know going straight up.
Tell our audience, if you would, obviously the angelic realm is pretty self-explanatory. Tell our audience, if you would, what the etheric realm is, if you know.
The etheric realm is our, well, I'd hope so after a year of energy medicine, or at least close to it. The etheric realm is like our aura. It's like the area around us. It's the area above our crown chakra. Most people think it's like the 8th through the 13th chakra. And we have these energies that extend out, or part of us that extends out. And that's what your etheric realm is. And that's where some of these crystals and stones come into play. It's like there's 9 feet in front of you that it's still you, and that's your etheric realm, unless you're like one of these really huge people. It's like sometimes my etheric realm is 200 feet all the way around. You know, it just really depends. But that's what your etheric realm is. And there are things that come into our energetic field, and some of these stones protect all the way through all of that.
Hey, Randy, why do you think it is that someone like myself, I know I have some of your stuff that you've sold that's absolutely incredible as far as the things that you put together for me, but I don't really sense any of the energy from that. And is that because I'm disconnected from my emotional body, or is that just because some people just aren't sensitive to the energy that the stones or whatever they're wearing give off?
There are a couple of different things that happen. First off, you have to be very open and sitting still to feeling them. I remember the Russian seraphinite pendant that you have. I remember the first time I put that particular stone in your hand. You had just come from an attunement. You were so open, and when I put that into your hand, I watched you elevate. As I sat there, because I hadn't had the attunement, and I was just watching you float literally out of your chair and up, and that's an angelic realm stone. Some other stones, like carnelian, which I'll get into in a few minutes, they're more grounding stone. But you have to be open to receive and open to feel. And then also you have to remember, Mark, that when you've been wearing or working with things for a while, they will mesh, meld, coincide, become part of your energy because they're working with your energy. And I've been told we can't feel our own energy, that only other people can tell us how big it is. People will walk into my apartment here in Nashville and go, whoa! And they're like, well, you live in it, so of course you don't see it or notice it or know about it. I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, sometimes I do. You know, sometimes I do. But that would be the biggest reason why somebody wouldn't feel it.
Okay.
Well, if I can jump in here for just a second. Are you done, Mark, or do you have another question?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. What I was going to suggest is, I'm thinking as you're talking, and it feels very much like this concept that the American Indians used to have where everything is alive, and this movement and vibration and quality and consciousness of matter of matter, and especially as it relates to stone. I think that that's at least that's the analogy that stuck with me. Would you say that that has some validity?
I do believe that everything is alive, and I do believe that the premise that you're talking about is a lot of what has happened in the last couple of years as I've continued to create and as I have studied energy medicine. It seems that when I pray or when I set really strong intentions, I guess we're going into sort of what happens behind the process of me creating something. Sometimes when I sit down, first thing I do is I always clear the space and make it sacred. Whether I've staged it, whether I've chanted with, chanting or prayers or ringing bells. And then I call in protection angels and highest good and beauty creators. And then I call in major league ascended masters to help me to create so that whatever is going to happen. And I know that because in my heart, these stones are alive, just like the Indians did, that all this beautiful energy is going into these stones. And so it's funny when I'm vending at an event to watch people come up and pick something out. And or if I am creating something for someone, but people will come up and they'll pick something out and they'll put it in their hand and it'll change their whole demeanor. You can see that they start to smile or sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes I'll put something in someone's hand and I'll get lit up like a Christmas tree, like, oh, yeah, this is definitely a stone that will work for you. And then they'll look at me and I'll go, well, this stone can do this for you, this for you, this for you, and this for you. And they'll look at me and they'll go, how did you know? And I'll go, you gravitated to a certain stone and the stone's saying to me, hey, these people need this because of this, 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 or their body energy is saying that to me. But yeah, stones are alive and they allow, some people call it charging. I don't really call it charging a stone. I call it more of giving it a lot more love energy so that it can create a higher happiness level in the person when they're wearing it. So that with whatever they're going through, it'll make their journey easier, whether it's a good journey, a bad journey. You know, we need things for good days, bad days, maybe days, you know, yes days, no days, and maybe days. We need things for all those things. So, yeah, stones are very alive, and they will, and it's funny, that's why sometimes they've got to be saged. They've got to be cleared. They've got to be sat in sunshine or in moonlight, or they've got to be run through salt water because they've picked up all of this energy because they're protecting the person that's wearing it or they're pulling stuff out of the person that's wearing it. So, yes, stones are very, very, very much alive. Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. So does the energy, do you think the energy emanates from the stone as a natural byproduct of the kind of stone that it is, or do you infuse the stone with energy as you're creating the jewelry, or both?
I'm going to go with C, both, or all of the above, because, well, you know, each stone's got its own thing, per se, that it does, mm-hmm. or that it helps us with, or that it's all about, or how it can be. But when you add to it the energy of unconditional love, of unconditional happiness, of unconditional joy, it just takes the stone in a whole different way. I just got an email the other day from a young woman who bought a bracelet off of me when I lived in Florida and I was vending at the beach, and she said, I'm really sad that you're not going to be there, but she said, I had someone else work on my bracelet. And it's just, she says, and I just don't trust anybody. Will you please help me? And I was like, yeah, let me get through this radio show and a few other things I've got to do, and we'll set up an energy appointment, and, you know, I'll reactivate. And in the meantime, I've given her some steps of some things to do for her bracelet so that when we get ready to work on it, her bracelet will be ready, and I'll be able to help her with it through the phone, through time and space, because energy, as we all know, has no concept of time or space, which is kind of cool.
That is cool. So you mentioned to me right before the show started that there were a few different stones that you wanted to address and tell us about. Could we do that? Because I'd love to hear it.
Sure. Sure. It's funny. I was thinking about, and there's so many stones, and there are going to be some people that are going to listen to this go, oh, I hope she picked something juicy. But I went for things that are really close to my heart, and I'm going to start with carnelian as the first stone that I tell you about. And it's actually connected to the second chakra. It is an orange-colored stone. It's known as a life force stone. It's known as a fertility stone. And the reason I call it a life force stone is because it actually goes over into the first and the third chakra. So it's like a stone that will work to keep any spiritual person grounded so that they can focus and do what they need to do. Because so many spiritual people are in chakra four up, and chakra one, two, and three don't have a clue as to what's going on because, you know, they're just not grounded. And so this is a really wonderful grounding stone. It's also a stone about confidence. It's a stone about self-esteem and boldness, and it brings, like, awareness of our feelings to the front. It's a creation stone. I mean, we all know that the second chakra is your creative chakra, your sacral chakra, you know, your sexual chakra. Call it what you want, but this particular stone helps with life force. And, you know, when some people study, they know that the second chakra is directly related to the fifth, which is your throat. And if your second is not working, sometimes your fifth will not allow you to say what you need to say to be your authentic self. This stone is great in helping to heal traumas, emotional wounds. It's one of those that'll accumulate in the etheric body and pull out stuff that's about to manifest in our physical body. Like if we've got some funk that's in those feet that you and I were talking about that are out in front of us and it's about to come into the physical body, it'll help pull it out. It's a stone that in the olden days was known for detoxifying your blood from the liver and from the kidneys. I know that I was going through an issue with my second chakra, and I didn't understand why I was being guided to create like this long carnelian necklace, and I wore it for months. Well, it helped me with what I was going through, and then I later realized, oh, okay, that's what you were telling me about. Thank you very much for your help. I also know it is a survivor stone because it protects us from negative emotions, and it helps to protect us from rage and resentment. I have a pair of carnelian earrings that I was wearing, and something happened that wasn't kind, and I went to someone's house, and because I couldn't see my earrings at that point, my friend looked at me and said, you know, your carnelian earrings just look very heavy on energy. Well, they had taken a bunch of the brunt of some ugliness that I had just been involved in, and kept it from going in, kept most of it from going inside of my body. And it was a really cool experience. We had to clear them. I mean, we actually put them in a Tibetan bowl and cleared them. And I put them back on. She went, okay, don't put them back on. And I laughed. And so I got them home, and they've been cleared since. But carnelian is one of those stones that just helps to heal. And if you're having issues in your lower chakras, or if you're having creativity issues, it's something that'll help to keep you centered and focused and grounded. A great stone. And by the way, it's associated with the fire elements, chi, orange in color. It's also a stone for Aries, Taurus, Cancers, and Leos. And what we have to remember is stones can go with astrology, they can go with the elements, they get all matched up. It's truly a stone of confidence and action. So I always forget about telling about, like, astrology and elements. I just know it, and it's like, oh, yeah, let me do that. and moving up, I went to rose quartz next. I'm kind of, like, working partially up the chakra system, and this is all about the heart chakra. And
Randy,
it's known as the – yeah?
Randy, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you for just a second because we hit the 9:30 mark. And we have a little break that Mark does.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, it's incredible information, Randy. Thank you. Everybody, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you want to find out more about our radio show and our upcoming guests, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to actually hand this back over to Randy. And before you finish off where you were, why don't you tell people how they can find out about where you are and what information and more about what you do?
Sure. My website is www.randybling.com. You can email me at divaram@gmail.com. And if you go to the website, there is a place for you to contact me. There is, my phone number is on the website. I do energy healings. I do readings. I do custom work, which we'll get into in a few minutes. And you can find out more about my processes and what I do either through contacting me or through the site. So it's www.randybling.com, jewelry for your soul.
Wonderful. Lovely, too. I like the jewelry for your soul tagline. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry I interrupted you. We were at Rose Quartz, and I can't wait to hear about Rose Quartz.
Well, it's funny because a couple of years ago, somebody said, why do you always work with so much Rose Quartz? Well, let me tell you, with all the shifts that are going on, first off, it's the universal stone of love. It is truly the universal stone of love, and its element is water, and it's most closely associated with, like, Tauruses and Libras. But it's all about love. It's all about the heart chakra, and it's all about the female energy of the heart chakra, not the male energy of the heart chakra. It opens the heart to heal the wounds. Rose quartz, when you wear it or keep it with you, it's kind of like the salve that you're putting on an open wound, and it just keeps working on it and working on it until it heals it. It's interesting because we're all going through so many changes. Rose quartz is about self-love. It's about self-esteem. It's about reminding us to be kind to ourselves, to other people, to open up our hearts to tenderness, to peacefulness, to forgiveness. And I don't just mean forgiving your parents, your husband, your wife, your children, your neighbors. I mean forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself for some of the things that we need to let go of, because if we don't let go of all this stuff, we're just going to stay stuck. So I work with a lot of heart chakra stones, but rose quartz is, everybody will go, oh, rose quartz. And it is. It is the universal stone of love. It, you know, it helps us clear childhood traumas. It relieves hurt. It balances our yin and our yang. It's just, it's like this stone that creates a peace that's just lovely. So I work with a lot of rose quartz. I work with it in conjunction with other things, but I work with a lot of rose quartz.
Well, that's good. When you have these pieces on you, does it help or doesn't it matter if you wear rose quartz around your wrist compared to, say, around your neck on a chain that would hang close to your heart? How do you feel about that?
Well, the first thing I say that if you're going to wear a bracelet and if you want to receive the energy of the stones, it needs to be on your left wrist. If you want to give the energy of the stones, it needs to be on your right wrist. I really, and there are some stones, it's funny, there are some stones that I like to see close to people's ears because of the fact that it's going to shield some stuff or it's going to take some stuff before it hits. And there are definitely things that I like to see close to the heart. Of course, you're talking to somebody who's usually got a piece of something in her bra, whether it's a labradorite or a crystal or, I mean, I've always got some rock or stone very close to my heart if I don't have a necklace on. And I believe we need to have something close to our heart. But if you are not a necklace person, wearing a bracelet on your left wrist or an anklet on your left ankle is going to give you the energy of the stones as opposed to giving them out.
know, I can't help but laugh with thinking about having a lumpy bra with stones in it.
You'd be surprised. I go up and hug people, and they look at me, and they remember and go, oh, yeah, you got a rock or a stone in there, don't you? And I'm like, of course I do. You know, sometimes I carry my pendulum in there because all of my pendulums are crystal in one manner, fashion, or the other. And so if somebody comes up and gives me a hug, you're like, and they're like, oh, yeah, never mind. It doesn't. And, you know, I just kind of laugh about it because I know it's there, and anybody that knows me really well knows it's there. So, you know.
You're so funny. Okay, so go ahead. I was just going to say, does that pretty much incorporate or encompass all of the characteristics of rose quartz?
It does more than, you know, rose quartz, love rose quartz. Those are the biggest things, and it's all love. And it's all love and all healing aspects of love. So if you can associate a word with love, tenderness, forgiveness, tolerance, mercy, these are things that rose quartz does for a person.
Great. So what's the third rock or stone that we're talking about?
I'm going to do amethyst because everybody's like, oh, amethyst. And the lovely purple stone, the purple stone that is associated with the wind, and it's a stone for Pisces and Virgos, Aquarians and Capricorns. It's a master healing stone, and it's known as the stone of spirituality. It's most closely associated with your 6th, 7th, and 8th chakra, which means we're going to the third eye, the crown, and that etheric realm. This is actually a stone that's also associated with Archangel Zedekiah as well as Saint Germain. Archangel Zedekiah is the angel of forgiveness and mercy and tolerance. And Saint Germain, as many people know, is all about transmuting negative energies and turning them into positive. It's a true stone of the mind. There's old stories that talk about if goblets were made out of amethyst and alcoholic beverages were poured into the goblets, people would not get inebriated or drunk because amethyst protects against or it keeps you sober, so it's a great stone when you're fighting. I hate to say the word addictions, but I guess I'm going to have to use it because at this moment I'm not coming up with anything else. But it's a stone that'll bring calmness and clarity when you're surrounded by anxiety and confusion. And let's face it, sometimes when we have addictions, it's because we can't see to get to the calmness and the clarity from all the anxiety that we're just surrounded with, you know. It's a stone that teaches us all spiritual, mystic, and physical properties that we need to know about. It's a great stone for removing stress, overworkedness, overwhelmedness with emotions. It's been used in the centuries. You know, you can go back into the Bible and see, like, the high priest Aaron in Israel, he wore it on his breastplate. I believe the cardinals wear it on one of their ring fingers. Most spiritual people have got amethyst somewhere in their house because it's such a healing stone. It protects against psychic attacks. So if you're wearing it, it's kind of like a shield to keep you from getting zapped by other people's energy. And it'll just pull out so many ugly things as well as giving you clarity. It's just an awesome stone on so many levels.
You know, it's awesome. Funny because right as you started saying amethyst, you announced the stone, and then my thought immediately was, that's my stone. And then you started talking about astrology, and I'm a Virgo, and everything, you know, it was just click. It just fit me perfectly. So that's interesting. It's fascinating, actually.
I have many of those properties because of all of the places in my chart. Like I have Capricorn. I have Capricorn in my chart. I'm an Aquarian sun with a Pisces moon. So, oh, yeah, it's a stone that just, I wear it every day. I wear it every day, and I stick it on a big clear quartz crystal at night, and I have two big amethyst geodes in my house. And when you're going through stuff, they will help to pull it out, and it's like I can see them screen people as they walk into the house and pull things out of them and bring honesty and truth into the person that's around. And they get saged a lot, and if you're ever clearing your amethyst, don't stick it in the sun. It's a stone that likes the moon. It's going to fade in the sun. In fact, it'll get really sad with you if you do it in the sun. So it always likes to be cleared in the moon. So
just a little tidbit
about that wonderful purple stone that so many of us love.
Right. Okay, and the last one is?
Labradorite, and I tell you, when thinking about what to do, labradorite is one of those stones that just makes me giggle like a little kid. Labradorite comes out of Labrador, Canada, and some people say it's associated with the water, and some people say it's associated with the wind. And I laugh because it's just one of those stones. It's a feldspar stone, so it's kind of like got this sparkle, and when you look at it in different lights, it changes color. And so it's known as a magical stone, a protection stone. It's known as a stone of spiritual awakening. It'll work with almost all chakras. Primarily, though, it works with your third and with your crown chakra. It resonates with Archangel Raphael when it comes to healing and love. But I know it as the witch's stone. I know it as the stone of change. I know it as the counterpart of moonstone being black moonstone because of so much change that it will help you to go through. And it will, people that wear it, people that work with it, it helps to bring out your clairvoyance, your telepathy, your astral travel, helps you with past life recall. It's kind of got this, like, little umbrella effect, and when you're wearing it, it just, like, surrounds you so that nothing can penetrate and get into you. There's a story that the Northern Lights were trapped in rocks. Obviously, this is folk tale. And it's, I think it's Eskimo legend that goes back that an Eskimo was walking somewhere near Labrador, Canada, and he saw all of these Northern Lights stuck in the rocks, and so he axe picked them and got the Northern Lights free, and as a gift they left some in the stone so that it would have this sparkly effect to it. And labradorite can look gray, and then you can take it to the sunlight and you can see everything from gold to red to purple to aqua to electric blue. It just really all depends on what's in the stone. It's like a flash of light when you look at it, and it's like getting an intuitive flash, and that's what it reminds me of. I'll never forget the first time I was working with it. I went to an evening of meditations, and I was wearing this 3-strand labradorite bracelet on my left wrist, and we did 3 meditations or 4 meditations, and the last one was a killer for clearing stuff, and it was like I couldn't sit still. And I got home that night from that meditation, and that bracelet just shattered, just cracked. And I went, all righty then, Hurricane, you have done what you need to do for this moment in time. And I will go back and work with it when I feel like I'm stuck in, I know that there's change coming, or I'm looking for guidance. I will gladly wear it, put some on. And like I said, when I play with it, I'm like a little kid. It makes me smile quicker than almost anything other than maybe clear quartz and Herkimer diamond. So, and it's just so much fun to work with. And you, like, when I'm doing festivals and things, I'll take a piece that I've got and I'll take little kids and I'll show it to them. And you just see them going, wow, isn't that cool? And so that's, you know, it's just so much fun. So those were the 4 that I thought I'd giving, you know, different degrees of things that happen with all of the stones.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So we've talked about vibration, and each stone has its own vibration and its own characteristics. Obviously, you just went through four different stones and the things that they can offer us. When you work with stones, you briefly explained earlier the creative process in making the space sacred and really working with the stones, the vibration of the stone. Can you add anything more to that? Was there anything that we missed? Because it was just in explaining something else, and I kind of wanted to go back to make sure that we covered everything you wanted to cover.
I think that it's funny when I start working with them, and I do clear space, whatever I'm guided to do when clearing space, and sometimes it's several things. And I have found that when I'm creating, there's a lot of singing that's going on, and I'm not even always conscious of it. And sometimes I'm just chanting prayers, or I'm talking to the stones, and I'll sit quietly for a few minutes, and I'll go, okay. Like if my ego gets in the way, and I'm determined to work with something, let me tell you, it does not turn out. And I'll pull it apart and pull it apart and pull it apart. And if I stop for a minute and go, okay, who wants to be worked with today? You know, it's like there was one day. And I don't create every day, but I will create one or two days a week, because there are days when I will be gone for 6 hours of creating, 7 hours of creating, 8 hours of creating. There was one day I was getting ready to go do festivals. I think I was getting ready to do a trip to Florida. And I clearly heard that morning in meditation work with amethyst, labradorite, moonstone, and there was something else. And I created 11 pieces that day. Some of them were earrings, some of them were necklaces, some of them were bracelets. I will tell you that every one of those 11 pieces were gone by the end of the trip. And I have a reasonable amount of stock to be someone who's working festivals and knows that I'm not really going to be able to create for the 3 weeks that I'm going to be gone. So, you know, when I listen to guidance, and it's funny, I will start to put things together not knowing that this stone is going to create a powerhouse. And then all of a sudden I'll go back and I'll sit or I'll do research on it. And I'll just laugh and go, well, thank you very much for that information that I clearly in this body didn't know, but somewhere way above me certainly did. And then I guess there's an activation process that goes on throughout, I don't guess, I know that there's an activation process that is going on throughout whatever I'm creating. And it's actually started in the creative process, and then if someone buys from me, like at an event, I finish blessing it with them right there. And if, like, they order it off the internet or they call up and they order something, once I get it to them, I'll ask them to call me and we'll activate it together, because apparently I have been downloaded with how to give it a little extra something once it's in the owner's hands. I guess blessing them is what it's called. And it ends up being a blessing to the stone with the now owner of the stones for them to become one and commingle and go on their merry way with whatever needs to happen. And that's really become kind of cool, because I start the process when I'm working on them so they're ready. And then they have their own life. And then when somebody buys them, we finish the process. So that's kind of interesting. I had someone come up to me and dance the other day, and I didn't create this piece for her, but she looked at me. She says, you have this thing with stones. Will you please bless this for me? And I said, well, we'll do it together. And she goes, no, I just need for you to do it. And I'm like, no, this is a two-part thing. This is the commingling of the energies as well as the stone. And when we were done, she just looked at me, and I knew she was tingling from head to toe, because I was tingling from head to toe. And she just looked at me and smiled and kind of walked off in that bubble, little way, and I just kind of laughed and said, okay, you know. And so something that happens.
It sounds like a magical process every time. So your creations are sometimes very channeled, or maybe all the time they're very channeled. What would you say to that?
I was trying to go with something about channeled, and I believe channel just comes from our higher self. But, you know, the short answer is good.
Now, what about custom work? When, like, if I came to you and I said, Randy, I want you to make me something special, but I don't really know what I want. How would you go about doing something like that?
Well, I've been fortunate with some of this wonderful energy medicine that I have studied, how I met Mark, and understanding quantum physics more and more and more. And the first thing I do is ask permission to go into your energy field. And I ask your energy field what it would like for you to have. What is the inside of you asking for? You know, what needs to be worked on? Does your immune system need to be strengthened? Do you need to stay grounded? Are you constantly having to keep your Wonder Woman braces up and fighting off negativity, and you need a little extra help? Or, you know, and so that's what I do. Is the first thing I do is I ask. And if people see me in person, and if you put your hands in my hands, you're asking me to tell you what's going on. And I will say, will you take my hands? And I'm asking for your permission, and I always ask for permission. And if people come to me for custom work, it's pretty much understood that I've got permission, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to understand what your body's asking for. And then I just sit and listen. And I listen to what stones are going to be best created for your body. And sometimes I don't understand the combinations at all. I created a piece for a woman in New York, and by the time I got through, I was like, really? And we talk every so often. She was a client of my nutritionalist friend who just crossed to the other side. And when she got the necklace, she was like, oh, my gosh, this is more ostentatious than I'll ever wear. And she put it on, and she barely takes it off. Well, the good news is I was smart enough to put a lot of clear quartz crystal in there, which automatically clears all of the other stones that are around it, as well as the person. And it's like this piece that causes her to walk her walk and talk her talk. So sometimes I don't understand the combinations, but I don't ask. I just go, okay, fine. And then, of course, I ask what a person's budget is. I try to be conscious of that. Sometimes somebody will say, create something for me. And I'll go, give me a day or two to think about it, or give me a bit of time. And all of a sudden it'll come up, and, like, I'll call the client and go, okay, this is what – and before I get ready to say something, they'll say, it's brown, isn't it? And I'll laugh and go, well, yeah, I'm going to be working with Tiger's Eye. That's exactly what – and. You know, you just laugh because they've gotten the memo that their body's asking for this or that or whatever. And so I ask a price point and create something. I can also usually, if I've got something in stock and somebody doesn't want to wait, I can usually feel into their energy field and go, oh, this will work really well for you because this, this, and this are going on in your life. And they'll go, okay. And you know how? And I'll go, well, you just kind of told me without telling me. So that's how custom work goes, you know, and you have to give me the time to be able to sit with it, and sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks, and sometimes it's like, no, we're getting this done now, because this person is coming to you, and they need this, and this will help their energy field to take them to wherever they need to go next now. So sometimes those pieces get turned around quicker than I think they're going to get turned around. It just all depends, but that's pretty much how custom work goes. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun.
That's it.
Yeah.
I know from some of the stuff I purchased from you, I absolutely love the work that you do, the custom work you do.
You do. Mark asked me a couple years ago to create for his daughters, and I didn't know anything about his daughters, and I created two separate pieces, and I sent him the message that said they will know exactly which one belongs to them, and Mark called me up, and he goes, they did know. I was like, yeah, I knew they'd know. I didn't know which one, but I knew they'd know, and sure enough, one daughter took a beeline in for one, and one took a beeline in for the other one, and I knew nothing about his daughters. So, and Mark's got a couple of pendants, and it's, you know, it's fun to do the custom work. It's also fun to just create and watch the piece find its owner. So, kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's wonderful. So, Mark, we're quickly approaching the one-hour limit. It went by so fast, it always surprises me.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly the show goes, you know. So I just want to close up with everything. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you want to find out more about our show, you can go to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Randy, why don't you go ahead and give out your website so everybody knows how to contact you and everything.
Okay. My website is www.randybling.com. That's randybling, all one word, .com. Tagline is Jewelry for Your Soul. It's under construction or it's under adjustment or it's under beautification, but you can find the contact button or you can reach me at divaram, that's divaram at gmail.com, and my phone number is also on the website. So that's how you can get in touch with me.
Excellent. So it's great having you on the show, and Pam, always great to have you on the show as the co-host. So thanks to both of you. And Randy, always great. Your energy was incredible this evening. So wasn't it amazing how fast it went?
Yeah, it was.
All right. We're going to go ahead and close out with our music. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, you guys. Hi. Thank you so much.
Good night. You're welcome.
Good night.
Life is but a dream.